Now, I am now joined in studio by the wonderful and the fabulous Brendan Courtney. Brendan,
Hi.
You're very welcome.
Thank
and,
you so much.
And you are in today with me to talk about a new campaign called the Call It Out campaign
yes.
that you are heading up. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the University of Limerick and TENI, which is the Trans Equality Network in Ireland, ran some research and it showed some very interesting results that they of I think nearly 1,500 people they surveyed. Irish people generally felt that homophobia was no longer an issue and that LGBT people were not really at any serious risk. And their findings contrasted sharply with reported lived experience of LGBT people in Ireland. Research published in 2016 found that one in three LGBT people had experienced it, threatening and physical sort of abuse, and that one in five had actually been punched or hit. And I'm one of those one in five. So I was asked would I be part of the launch of this Call It Out campaign. And I think it's really about filtering into the school system and college system that people who come from liberal backgrounds will walk into a wider world and still experience homophobia, transphobia and biphobia.
Tell me a little bit about what happened to you. You said you've been hit. So you were hit purely based around your sexual orientation?
Yeah, so I was walking down Georgia Street, which is a pretty gay space on a Friday night. I felt very safe. I was with actually about seven or eight people. It was really bizarre. And there was two guys and two girls, and one of the guys recognised me and ran up and shouted faggot and punched me really hard on the eye and pushed me to, and I fell to the ground and they ran off. So the whole thing was very mixed emotions because I didn't feel threatened or set upon. I was with a group of friends. He punched me. It was sort of have a go and ran off. So I was just like, idiot. The next morning, the hugest black eye, like it's just awful. And it was the IFTAs the next night and I was to present an award. So I thought, I'm not going. I'm not going to be this drama queen crying because I have a black eye. That was my instinct, was to go, I'm not going to, it looks like I'm looking for attention with this and this is terrible. I'm not doing it. And I was actually speaking to our gracious leader in Ireland, who is, of course, Rory O'Neill Panty. And he's really one of my best friends. And he's a good sounding board for these kind of issues with me. And he's very, you know, very forthright in his thinking. So I rang him. I said, what will I do? And he was like, well, you're going to sit at home because somebody attacked you. You're going to go and you're going to present the award. So a couple of things happened. I actually put makeup on it to cover it. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And when we arrive at IFTAs, and sometimes it was quite dark in that, so people didn't really notice it. And it's only because it had just moved to the convention centre. I'm normally with the press. I am part of that group. It looked like I snubbed my mates. It was really weird because I was presenting an award. So I didn't see them. So it caught attention of a few people in the press. And they said, oh, he avoided us. Why did he? He's a black guy. What's happened? So all sorts of conjuring stories went around the night that I'd been attacked by my partner, blah, blah, blah. And eventually.
And you didn't want to have cleared that up, obviously.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing was an exercise in huge embarrassment. I just wanted it to go away. But again, I got up and presented the award. And the next morning, I went down to get a bag of peas from the frozen counter in the shop next door to take the swelling because it was really bad, actually. And I was on the cover of every newspaper. And it was gay bashed, attacked, and I got phone calls from Australia and America. Are you okay? Okay. So I was trying to instinctively play it down because I was all right. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't nervous. But actually, as time went on, I got nervous. I started to get more aware of my surroundings everywhere I went, and it was just a horrible thing to happen. I had to go and report it then to the police to put it on record, and that was really uncomfortable. I wasn't happy with that. It was all a bit of embarrassing, and that's the other thing about people not reporting these crimes, because they're just afraid to, and they're embarrassed that they've been part of this crime. It's a weird emotion.
I'm very struck from listening to you how much, with respect, you're minimising it. I'm really struck
yeah.
with how much you're kind of going, oh God, it was no big deal, and I don't want to make...
It
is a bloody big deal.
It was my instinct, because actually it was coming up to the marriage equality referendum. And instinctively, I knew that this would pour fuel on either side of the argument to debate. And so it was something, you know, I was just nervous about. And we had a shop on Stephen Street, very nearby here, in the shop. Every morning, without fail, for about 6 months, somebody at night would come down and spit all over the shop window. Every night for 7 nights, 6 months. It was mad. But I started to get these weird postcards.
Let's take a listen. We have a couple of voices here about other people, what they've experienced in this area.
They told me on this comment that I should kill myself and that I was a disgusting freak of nature.
Not only did I get robbed, but it was also the verbal abuse as they're kicking in on top of me.
I mean, this group of guys surrounded me and started calling me fag and gay and homo and started to throw eggs at me. And I guess in the first instance, I just felt absolute disbelief, feeling rejected, feeling isolated, feeling like I didn't belong, feeling like I had no identity, that I was worthless.
And there are some LGBT voices. There are people who have been
Darren
abused.
And Eddie is amazing. I've never heard those stories. Even that's just mind blowing, isn't it?
If you hear their stories, do you think they should be minimising it? Because I feel very strongly that you're doing that. Oh God, I'm grand. But actually,
Do you know what? It was very conscious that I know women who've been attacked down a laneway, and it was different. I wasn't on my own. I wasn't smaller than my attacker. I wasn't followed or set upon. So it didn't have the impact on my life, thankfully, that I think a more serious attack could have. And I suppose that's what I'm minimising. And I want to be sure and be careful to say that. Having said that, I was attacked just for being myself, which is mental. So, yeah, I'm not happy about it.
You've been abused on the street before, haven't you? You've had people shouting things at you.
Lots of stuff. But you see, what was interesting about marriage equality and actually talking about it, do you know what was really interesting was the reaction of the press to it, and with the warm support that I got from people like you, from all of my contemporaries, because actually we were used to it. So me and Darren Kennedy and whoever else, just Eddie McGuinness, all the people, we actually grew up with it. So it became part of our lives. So whether it was in the schoolroom, somebody shouting gay or puff or that word, that our shoulders were shrinking, you got kind of used to it. And I suppose the marriage equality was a great way to sort of clear it all out. And now it's just completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Someone says, Claire, the only time I feel 100% safe holding my boyfriend's hand is while we're marching in the Pride Parade. We would seldom ever do it any other time. And that's from John.
We would never hold each other's hands. We just wouldn't do that.
Is that because you feel it might inflame the bigots?
Yeah, 100%. Because I live on the Keys, and if we ever do that, I remember one Friday night.
This is the panty bliss. I check myself, isn't it?
I check myself. It was just genius. That was genius. Because you just instinctively, from growing up with it, you check yourself. I was a very camp little boy. I had blonde page boy hair. It was in the school, little kids would say, are you a boy or a girl? I mean, I just couldn't hide that I was different. So I kind of just grew up with that and learned defence mechanisms. If I feel unsafe, just act like everybody else. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Yeah, it's ingrained in us.
You mentioned school kids there, because I just saw earlier on in the news that there are parents taking their kids out of school in the UK, because the UK now have issued a kind of a model in the curriculum about talking to small kids in primary school about LGBT issues, and parents who dislike that are taking their kids out, saying that this is an LGBT agenda pushing thing. Mm. For my money, I think children at a young age should know all this stuff, because I think how else do we foster understanding and tolerance and all those nice things that we want our children to maybe grow up and have.
I find it amusing that you think that it's not worthy of teaching a child about difference on any level. I think if a child is old enough to ask, they should be told truths. And I just think it's very bizarre. I'd like to get my head around what that is. But actually, that's just another agenda being pushed in its own way. Because an agenda of inclusion is what is exactly what it is. It's inclusive.
The Call It Out campaign is obviously around the idea that we would call out homophobia if we see it. What are you asking people to do? Are you asking them to sign up to something? Are you asking them genuinely if they see somebody being called faggot or puff or these kind of hate-filled names, that they say, what are you doing? Stop.
Well, the agenda is really about understanding and accepting sameness and having empathy. And so I remember years ago saying to my gay friends, make haste while the sun shines. Pretty soon they'll realise we're very like them. In fact, we're not different at all. So it's really accepting sameness. And that's the real driver for this campaign. But yes, there's a website. So if you want to call out homophobia or transphobia, by whom you've seen it online, or there's a website, callitout.ie, which gives sort of helpful instructions on how you would go about calling things out safely.
Yeah, and obviously there is safety, because if someone's the kind of git that's going to punch you in the face, they might punch also in the face the people who call them
100%,
out.
100%, so be careful, of course, yeah.
Okay, don't be that git.
I think it's just about breaking down the apathy to create empathy.
Yeah, and just, you said you don't either hold hands. Are there safe spaces to do that, but are they only in like a gay bar or at Pride or... How?
I think I don't hold hands because I'm a bit lazy and I just don't want to deal with it. You know, I'm just like, I don't want to deal with what these people think. Now, I'm the gay off the telly, right? So it's like, I would probably be, when I used to walk into a room when I started in television in 1999, the first thing people thought was, oh, that's the gay guy.
The gay in the village.
That doesn't really exist in my world anymore. That's the good news. I feel that tag is not really people don't care.
They I don't think they
and
do.
And I think a lot of people listen today will go, well, who cares anymore? People, and that's the apathy we're worried about, because the report's showing that people are still experiencing homophobia.
Yeah, and I do think that I read the report and it said 36% of people think that there's an issue, but the rest of them think there isn't an issue.
Yeah.
But that's because it seems to me it's the same people don't think racism exists and they don't think misogyny. Yeah. If they're not in the receiving end, they presume it doesn't exist. But
100%
that's
100% it, Ciara.
That's not the case.
That's absolutely it. And this report has shown that that's the case, that people still feel victimised.
Stop being homophobic, people. I know most of you aren't, but those of you who are, stop it. Stop it now. Look, thank you so much for coming in. It is Brendan Courtney about the Call It Out campaign. Loads more coming up after this on Lunchtime Live. Do stay with us. Pamela on Twitter has said, my experience, this is about homophobia, is that the straight up abuse has been replaced of late with just the dumbing down of me as a person. Insidious covert comments being made. That's interesting. And lots of people getting in touch on the homophobia issue. And Sharon is on the line. Sharon, you think the language people use is important when it comes to homophobia. Tell me what you mean by that.
I do. Just speaking on behalf of my son, I guess, and the homophobia he experiences every day as a teen, as a gay teen.
Yeah.
It's this use, particularly in this use of "that's gay." I don't know if you're familiar with
I am. But, yeah. It means that's lame, doesn't it?
It's lame, it's not cool, it's bad, and it's a term that is not, I believe, it's there's no harm intended when children use it, but it does create, you know, a harm within someone who's standing there listening to it, who's thinking maybe about coming out amongst their friends, and then they're hearing, you know, anything that's gay is lame or not cool. My husband puts it in terms of, let's say, they decided to use the term Ciara Kelly instead of, you know, oh my God, you're not going to wear that dress. It's so Ciara Kelly. Oh my God, you're not going
to
go there.
I don't mean to laugh because I hear what you're saying, but...
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I totally do.
Yeah.
And has
you're standing there and you're listening to it 3-4 times a day, it starts to eat away at your self-confidence. If you are going to come out, I mean, how do you come out when, you know, all you're hearing all day is that being gay is bad or there's something wrong about it.
Is your son out in public?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And he would be very much a call it out type of guy.
Would he?
So he will tell, if someone says it to him or in his company, he will tell them it's homophobic.
Nice. Well, as in that's a good thing.
But then people, because they do it, they are not saying it with an intent. They don't think it's that bad.
Okay.
Because it's
yeah, no, yeah. And I hear what people, I can kind of, oh, we're just messing, it's only a joke, man, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not personal. I didn't mean that he was, there's something wrong with him.
No, you're all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And my son's actually heard that, but you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Was what was said to him.
Yeah. As a parent mm-hmm. of a child who is gay, does it make you feel worried for him? Does it make you feel that he's more vulnerable than you wish he was? Do you feel afraid for him?
When he came out first, 2 years ago, I definitely felt that way. You know, you worry about this path he's on. But actually, as he's come out and he's become confident in himself and he's living his truth, shall we say, I don't feel that way at all. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his life. I'm excited for him to be himself.
So you, which is great, and I would want you to feel that, obviously. Does that mean that we're living in an era, and I'm not minimising what the effect of things like homophobia are on people? Does that mean like we're living in an era that is a little better, at least, than perhaps previous eras?
I absolutely believe it is a little better in our experience.
Yeah,
it's better. I mean, he's found a good community of teens, which is, you know, which has been fantastic. And I think that's very necessary to find your community and to find people who have had similar experiences. They can talk about it. I mean, he didn't have a good experience in schools. He's had to change schools.
Oh, really? In order to find that community?
Yeah, because it's quite toxic. I think it can be quite toxic with teenagers.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, you're being quite...
And he's experienced that.
Yeah, you're being quite, then, I would suggest. A bit like Brendan, I think you're kind of minimising it. I mean, your kid had to move schools over this. That would suggest that perhaps we're not as tolerant and all of those types of things as we'd like to think we are.
Yeah, I think... No, I agree with you there. I think we've had to kind of find a way for him to be accepted, find an environment where he's accepted rather than him just be accepted.
And is there a difference, just lastly on this, is there a difference between some schools and other schools? As in, is the school he's in now kind of okay at this, but the school he was in before, and you don't have to name the schools?
Yeah, definitely.
Some schools are better than others?
Yeah, yeah.
Seems wrong to me. Seems just instinctively, it seems wrong to me that all
schools... It can be very upsetting.
Yeah, that all schools wouldn't be on top of this at this point in our lives. Thank you for coming on, Sharon. I wish you and indeed your lovely son very well. And thank you for coming on. And he's dead right to call it out. But I just wish it wasn't such a hard road for people. It seems very unfair to me. Owen is also on the line. Owen, you have witnessed homophobia quite recently. Tell me about that.
Yeah, hi, Ciara. Thanks for having me on. Basically, it was only on Saturday. I won't say where. But I just basically, some woman on the street let a roar out at a couple that were walking down. And basically what the reason I rang, I suppose, was what happened was I walked away myself thinking, God, I kind of wish I said something there.
Yeah.
Or I wish I went up to the couple and just asked them whether they're okay. Like, I mean, they did laugh when it happened, but I suppose that was probably more of a reaction. And it just...
And when you say she let a roar, you can tell us what she said. What did she say to them?
Something along the lines of go somewhere else and play.
Go somewhere else.
And there was something else. And then that was the end of it. I mean, but as I said, they laughed, but it wasn't, I can imagine that was just an initial reaction. And it just, as I said in the text, I was nearly more ashamed of myself that I didn't say anything than I was of the incident itself happened. So that's why when I heard this campaign, I thought it was a really good idea. And I just like what your last caller was saying about the joke. And I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. I was talking to somebody the other day who told me that their granddad, he makes jokes about gay people, but it's okay because he respects them. And I was kind of going, well, that's totally hypocritical. And I think it kind of just summed up a lot of people's approach to it in this country.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm looking at the text line coming in. Someone says, Ciara, if two men got passionate in a non-gay bar, they would be very brave. Homophobia is alive and well. I am in my 50s and I'm still afraid to come out. So that's somebody in